Hello, this is Nancy Pippin with today's pantograph for Wednesday, November the 15th, 2017. We begin today's reading with the front page headline of Forum Examines Opioid Crisis in McLean County. Up front, we have a picture of several folks, Scott Giovanelli, a resident agent in charge of the USDEA in Illinois, Illinois State Police Sergeant Anthony Kessner, and Dr. Sarah Pointer, who is the clinical director of the Illinois Prescription Monitoring Program. And they are answering questions from local doctors and law enforcement officers about potential solutions for the country's opioid problem during a seminar held Tuesday at the Illinois State University Bone Student Center. The opioid epidemic that kills 175 people daily in the United States is a tough opponent with a multinational supply network. Acting U.S. Attorney Patrick Hansen told an audience for Tuesday's summit in Normal on the issue surrounding the addictive drugs. So far this year, the number of overdose deaths has doubled in McLean County, according to Coroner Kathy Davis, a panelist at the forum sponsored by the McLean County Bar Association and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Central District. With 33 overdose deaths, 26 of them related to opioids, the county surpassed the 16 drug-related deaths of 2016 and 19 the previous year. The deaths have gone up exponentially. It's amazing how much it's hitting McLean County, said Davis. Following the day-long event at the Bone Student Center, Hansen said the conversation must continue between law enforcement, medical personnel, and attorneys who see the consequences of the opioid crisis. We need long-term, not short-term solutions, said Hansen, adding that includes expansion of access to drug treatment. The targeted efforts by law enforcement to combat the opioid trade are made more difficult by drug dealers who stay one step ahead of the law, explained Scott Giovanelli, resident agent in charge of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration area that includes Central Illinois. Among their tactics, dealers move smaller amounts of heroin to avoid the 100-gram minimum. That triggers tougher federal sentencing if convicted. They realize that what that 100 grams means. They're still making a significant profit just by minimizing. The first-hand account of how an average person becomes addicted to heroin was shared by Andrew Dewey, who was over 5 years clean and a year away from a master's degree in counseling. I'm living proof that opioids do not have a, quote, type, end quote, said Dewey, a successful businessman whose journey to addiction began with the first of two prescriptions for back pain. A friend gave Dewey heroin after seeing him in withdrawal from the prescription painkillers. It was heroin every single day. I was hooked. I felt like I was in a 5-year living hell, said Dewey. The recovering addict said he entered treatment after two state troopers, familiar with his drug use, came to his door in Jacksonville with an ultimatum. Get some help or get ready for the cuffs. Dr. Ramzan Benyamin, founder of Millennium Pain Center in Bloomington, said, I don't think there's one magic bullet to fight this. It takes a concerted effort. Physicians and agencies that issue accreditations to medical facilities share the responsibility for the spread of drug addiction, said Benyamin. requirements that patients leave a hospital with a low level of pain has resulted in doctors prescribing multiple medications that carry a potential for addiction, said Benjamin. They send them home like zombies, said the doctor, according and adding that a balance must be struck between access to pain medications and the need to prevent abuse. The U.S. had a 4.4% of the world's population in 2014, but consumed 69.1% of the world's opioid supply and 99.7% of the world's supply of one such drug, hydrocodone, said the pain management doctor. The question of how addicts should be treated by the criminal justice system was explored by McLean County Sheriff John Sandage, McLean County State's Attorney Jason Chambers, and Judge Casey Costigan. Sandage said his staff monitors inmates who are going through an opioid withdrawal. The county is considering a program that would allow addicts seeking help with treatment to surrender their drugs to law enforcement, said the sheriff. For many defendants, the county's drug court is a successful alternative to incarceration, said Costigan, who presides over a problem-solving court. With just 17% of drug court participants charged with a new offense within 2 years of their graduation from the program, the drug court, with its strict probation requirements, has a recidivism rate of far better than the 75% rate for the Illinois prisons, said Costigan. The process of admitting defendants to drug court includes an evaluation of the person's criminal record that cannot include violent offenses, said Chambers. Drug offenders must adhere to strict probation terms, including counseling. Next, we have a economic spur in Bloomington. This is the county okays a tax deal for Brandt. Despite reservations, all but one McLean County board member agreed Tuesday to give away property tax money over the next decade to bring up to 500 jobs to the county. The board voted 16-1 for a deal to bring the Brandt Group of Companies, a Canadian agriculture manufacturer, to a soon-to-be-vacated factory at 19500 North 1425 East Road in rural Hudson, foregoing an unknown amount of future revenue to beat a competing location in Iowa and Illinois. We need to have manufacturing jobs because it does affect not only jobs, but it affects property values and housing, and that affects property taxes, said County Board Chairman John McIntyre. We've lost jobs over the last years, he added. We can't continue to rely on increased housing development. State Farm isn't continuing to hire. And so we need more of these kinds of factory jobs. Board member Jacob Beard voted against the abatement. This is the type of company that we want here, but what would we say no to? He said, what's to keep the next company from saying, hey, we're going to leave Bloomington unless you give us money? It's a tough precedent to set because it shrinks the tax base for a decade. Board member Scott Murphy said the worst outcome is to not approve the deal and let the property decay, reducing its property tax output. The company will receive at least $600,000 from the abatement by 7 taxing bodies based on the property's current taxable value. As long as Brandt meets hiring goals, including 300 full-time workers by 2025. About two-thirds of that money would come from the Normal-based McLean County Unit 5 School District, which signed off Monday, and 12% would come from the county. The company predicts hiring up to 500 workers, and the county will begin to receive the majority of the abatement property taxes again in 2025, when the plant's property tax value would be much improved. Brandt plans to spend $13 million on improvements to the plant in the next 2 years and another $8 million over the subsequent 8 years. Brandt President Sean Simple told the board by phone that the company plans to hire local workers for the plant. He also promoted job creation on the company's local supply chain and potential expansion by Brandt at the sale. Members questioned whether the deal is strong enough to ensure that investment. It doesn't have clawback provisions, which would let the county get previous incentives back if the company falters. We also questioned the process by which the deal was considered. County board members didn't get a final agreement with Brandt until Sunday night, though it was negotiated by the county, Unit 5, and other local officials over several months. Though four other taxing bodies have yet to approve this deal, the county scheduled a special board meeting Tuesday so Brandt could get approval from Unit 5 and the county before Wednesday, when the company is set to officially agree to buy what's now the Kongsglide Industries plant. McIntyre said he's unsure if Brandt would be discouraged by no votes from the remaining taxing bodies, which include Normal Township, which taxes property not only for its general fund, but also separately for road improvements. And they have expressed concerns about the deal. Its board meeting is Thursday morning. Heartland Community College Board is set to consider the deal Tuesday with President Rob Widener. He said leaning towards recommending approval. The Hudson Community Fire Protection District will next meet to consider the deal next week, said Chief Jeff Thomas, and the Hudson Area Public Library District plan to schedule a special meeting for that purpose by Wednesday morning, said Director Susan Drucker. McIntyre noted that the Dry Grove Township, which is not involved in the Brandt project, did not sign off on the abatement for Revan Automotive, which received a small abatement deal last year. And from Champaign County, a daughter's disappearance pains family. Still seeking answers, parents, boyfriend of a scholar back in China. For more than 4 months now, Rengo Zhang walked to his missing daughter's apartment almost every day. At first, he stood outside, hoping she would show up one afternoon, but even after he was told she had been kidnapped and was presumed dead, he continued his routine. "It brings peace and comfort to my heart," Zhang explained in Mandarin through a translator. His daughter, Yingyang Hang, a 26-year-old visiting scholar at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, disappeared June 9th. A former graduate student has been charged with kidnapping and killing her. Zhang's body has not been found. Last week, Zhang's father made a final visit to the Orchard Downs apartments with his wife, 24-year-old son, and his daughter's boyfriend as they prepared to return to China. After Zhang had vanished, they hoped that she would be found alive. After authorities relayed the grim news, they decided to stay until her remains were found so they could take her home for a proper burial in accordance with Chinese customs. Now they have left reluctantly without her. Zhang's mother is in fragile health, and there is no way of knowing when this cruel mystery will be solved. Each day they wait in agony. We don't know where she is. I don't know how to spend the rest of my life without my daughter, said her mother, her face tear-stained and voice trembling as she spoke through a translator. I cannot really sleep well at night. I often dream of my daughter, and she's right there with me. I can't ask the mother of the suspect, please talk to her son. I want to ask the suspect's mother to please talk to her son and ask him what he did to my daughter. Where is she now? I want to know the answers. Authorities have not said how Zhang died. Brent Christensen was charged in July with abduction and last month was accused in superseding indictment of kidnapping resulting in the death of an especially heinous, cruel, and depraved manner, in that it involved torture or serious physical abuse to the victim. That carries the possibility of the death penalty. Christensen's lawyer declined comment, and the federal prosecutors claim that Zhang, who arrived on campus in April and missed a bus and worried she was late to sign an agreement on an apartment lease when Christensen lured her into his car. Surveillance video showed her getting into the front of the back of the black Saturn Astra, and FBI alleges it was cleaned in a way to conceal evidence. Audio surveillance captured Christensen talking about how he had abducted Zhang and took her back to his apartment, where she blank fought and resisted, said the prosecutor. Christensen, who earlier this year earned a master's degree in physics, appeared at a campus vigil for Zhang in June before he was arrested. Zhang's disappearance was rippled far beyond Urbana-Champaign, generating headlines and discussion in Chinese newspapers and social media sites about the American justice system, the capabilities of law enforcement, and whether visiting scholars are safe. Some 5,600 Chinese students attend the University of Illinois, more than any other college in the nation. The area typically has no more than a few homicides a year, and studying in America was Zhang's longtime dream, and she loved her stay here, said Zhang's boyfriend, who was in touch with her every day via WeChat, a popular site network, social network in China. Hyo, her boyfriend of 8 years, and family members have met with the FBI, police, and prosecutors, but they're frustrated by the slow pace of the justice, said Zhang Wad, the Chicago attorney who has been helping them. He said he explained that even though authorities have a suspect, Christensen's constitutional rights protect him from being forced to reveal anything that would hurt his defense. Recently, Christensen's lawyers sought a delay in the trial until next October, saying they needed to check into several purported sightings of Zhang and reports of suspicious people around her apartment before she disappeared. Zhang's father said the loss of his daughter has warped his sense of time. Every day is like a year. The authorities provided scanned pages of Yang's diary to her family, and Ho, her boyfriend, said it hurt too much to read them thoroughly. She wrote regularly on long-term and short-term goals and meticulously detailed how she organized her day. 20 minutes for breakfast, 20 minutes for jogging. On June 1st, her last entry, Zhang has a bit more philosophical. Life, she wrote, is too short to be ordinary. Our final front page article now moves to the national news, where the Senate GOP tax bill to nix ACA mandate is written about. Senate Republicans are intent on scrapping the Affordable Care Act requirements that Americans get health insurance, targeting a repeal of the individual mandate to help finance deep tax cuts in their tax overhaul. The surprise renewal Tuesday of the failed effort to scrap the law's mandate came a day after President Trump renewed pressure on GOP lawmakers to include the repeal in their tax legislation. It has sharp political stakes for Trump, who lacks the major legislative achievement that after nearly 10 months in office. The move by Republicans on the Senate Finance Committee upended the debate over the tax measure, just as it was inching closer to passage following the months of fine-tuning and compromise. It turned the debate into an angry partisan referendum on health care and President Barack Obama's signature legislation. The Republican efforts to dismantle the law collapsed this past summer as moderate Republicans joined the Democrats in rejecting the repeal, a bitter disappointment for Trump, who lashed out at the Senate's GOP for failing. Adding the repeal of the mandate to the tax measure would combine two of Trump's legislative priorities. Beyond Trump's producing the repeal move, also was dictated by the Republicans' need to find revenue sources for the massive tax cut bill, which calls for a steep reduction in the corporate tax rate and elimination of some popular tax breaks. We are optimistic that inserting the individual's mandate repeal would be helpful. That's obviously the view of the Senate Finance Republicans. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters, "The Obamacare mandate requires most people to buy health insurance coverage or face a fine. Without being forced to coverage, fewer people would sign up for Medicaid or buy federal subsidized private insurance. Targeting the mandate in the tax legislation would save an estimated $338 billion over a decade, which could be used to help pay for the deep cuts." The Congressional Budget Office said estimated repealing the requirement that people buy health coverage would mean four million additionally uninsured people by 2019 and 13 million more by 2027. It will cause millions to lose their health care and millions more to lose their premiums. This was presented by Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, the senior Democrat on the Finance Committee, angrily insisted when the panel reconvened to work on the tax bill, and word came of the Republicans' move on the mandate. Feeling ambushed without advance notice, minority Democrats exploded in anger. That concludes our front page stories, so we'll move on now to one of our favorites, and that's Flix Facts. The question for today is that three well-known colleges in Illinois began their football playing days here in Bloomington. Playing their very first football games in Bloomington Normal, can you name those three colleges? Well, think about it, okay? So three colleges, all Illinois, began playing football in Bloomington Normal. Can you name the three players or the three colleges? Okay. Well, if you're not sure, let me go on down here. It says you might figure Illinois Wesleyan University, Illinois State University, played their very first games in Bloomington Normal. The other one to play its first game in Bloomington Normal was the University of Illinois. That game against Illinois Wesleyan was in 1890, and the Titans won. IWU is the first college to play a football game in Bloomington Normal, that being in 1887. So if you guessed University of Illinois, you would be correct. And that game was against Illinois Wesleyan in 1890. And Illinois Wesleyan won the college's first play, the first college to play a football game in Bloomington Normal, beginning in 1887. Okay. Good to know. And now we have some quick little thoughts here on what happened today in history. And they include in 1777, the Second Continental Congress approved the Articles of Confederation. In 1864, during the Civil War, Union forces led by Major William Tecumseh Sherman began their march to the sea from Atlanta. The campaign ended with the capture of Savannah on December 21st. If you don't know it, in 1926, the National Broadcasting Company began operating its radio network. And in 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt laid the cornerstone of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. Our thought for today is this: in seeking wisdom, thou art wise. In imagining that thou hast attained it, thou art a fool. And this was by Simon ben Azari, 2nd century A.D., Jewish scholar. So this concludes the first half of the Pantograph, and we will take a short break and return for the second half hour of the November 15th segment of Pantograph. Please stay tuned.